In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, we have a record of a statement of Jesus that you don't find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. In Acts chapter 25, the Bible records for us that Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than receive." There's a greater blessing in giving than receiving. Obviously, I think we understand there's a blessing in receiving, but Jesus says there's an even greater blessing in giving. And as we think about our topic this morning, we want to spend some time in focusing on giving. And we're going to go to some of the common places in the Bible where you might expect us to go in the New Testament, in both 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And I encourage you to go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We'll look at that in just a moment. But it's very interesting that to the church at Corinth, which was a troubled congregation in many ways, a congregation that was not without its share of difficulties and problems, and they needed a lot of help to grow in Christ and to grow spiritually and to mature to be the kind of Christian and the kind of person that God wanted each and every one of those people in Corinth to be. It's very interesting that to this church, we read these passages both in 1 and 2 Corinthians that are so very vital to our understanding about giving. And while maybe they needed a little help and a little instruction on that, I just find it to be very interesting that to one of the congregations that we might least expect it, you read these wonderful statements and these wonderful truths about the statement that Jesus made, there's a greater blessing in giving than receiving. And so, based on the text in 1 Corinthians 16, and another text that we'll look at in a few moments in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, we're going to look at about seven principles of scriptural giving. Let's look at our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, as the closing remarks or statements are being made in this letter to the church at Corinth. The Apostle Paul says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches in Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there may be no collections when I come." And from this particular text, we're going to see at least three of the seven principles of giving that we want to examine this morning. Number one, we see that scriptural giving is regular giving. Scriptural giving is regular giving. Notice that the text says to the church at Corinth, and by application of the principle to time immortal and to all children of God, we understand that the text tells us that we are to give on the first day of the week. A couple of different translations also give us the real meaning of what the statement is made here, because as we think about the first day of the week and we think about this being regular giving, we think about it being consistent giving, we have to understand that the first day of the week is a principle that applies to every week, because after all, how many weeks have a first day? Well, the last time I looked, all of them. Every week that I'm aware of has a first day. And that's reflected, and that's really the meaning, and it's reflected in a couple of different translations. There is one translation by a man named Weymouth, and Weymouth says, "On the first day of every week." Brother Hugo McCord, in his translation in the New Testament, says, "Every Sunday, let each one of you." And that's obviously, I think, implied, inherent in the meaning on the first day of the week, because every week has a first day. And so every first day of every week, there should be a consistent, regular pattern of giving by children of God. Sometimes you may be away from your home congregation on the first day of a given week because you may be visiting another congregation. That does not exclude or negate the obligation to continue giving. You can give it in advance before you go, or you can make it up when you come back. But on the first day of the week, there is an obligation to give. And I've been very impressed by the giving of this congregation. I've been very impressed by your generosity, your great heart, and your great spirit. And even during the time about a year ago when we were not able to assemble on the first day of the week or any day of the week or almost anywhere about anything, the contributions still continued. You sent them by mail. You dropped them off at the office. And those were put into our contribution and to our collection. The works of this congregation continued in a very excellent way. And I think that we are not unique in that, as I have talked with many other brethren throughout this great brotherhood of ours. It seems to be the case that in so many, many congregations, that same pattern replicated itself to the fact that the Lord's work, while it may have been hindered a little bit, it may have been stymied in some ways, the Lord's work was not stopped. The Lord's work did not cease because people had in their heart exactly what the text is telling us, to give consistently, to give regularly, to give in a way that reflects the commitment that each and every one of us have to Christ. But I want you to notice, secondly, there's a principle in this text that tells us that scriptural giving is also personal giving. Number one, it is regular or consistent giving. But number two, it is personal giving. Notice the text says, on the first day of the week, let every one of you. Not just said in a generic sense of let the church at Corinth be sure that you give on Sunday, but notice how very specific the text is in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Let each or every one of you lay something aside. It simply was not sufficient to say, let the church do this, or let everyone do this, but it's very specific here, let every one of you. This is personal. You see, the giving that is talked about here is individual. Yes, we take up a collection as a congregation, but that collection taken up as a congregation comes from every individual within the congregation. Every one of you. Each one of you. And very specifically, we give. Very, very specifically, each individual decides to give, to lay something aside and to give to the Lord. We're not giving to the church. We're not giving to the elders. We're giving to the Lord, that this money may be used to glorify the Lord's purposes and the Lord's cause. But each one does this. Each individual who has some source of income or some source of revenue, each individual decides, I'm going to give, and this is what I'm going to give, and I specifically am giving this myself. Let every one of you, let each one of you. So scriptural giving, yes, it's consistent, number one, but number two, it's also personal. Scriptural giving is personal. And number three from this text, we're going to see that scriptural giving is according to our prosperity. You look at the text again, let everyone lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper. So we give according to how we prosper. Now, for salaried individuals or individuals who have a regular income on some kind of consistent basis, whether that be weekly, biweekly, monthly, or annually, people who have a very consistent amount, you know what that's going to be each pay period or each time you receive that, prosper the same amount every time. And therefore, the giving would probably be something of a very consistent nature. Basically, the same amount each time. But then there are individuals who have jobs that are not of a nature like that, or they have income that is not of a nature like that. It may not be on a consistent basis. It may be a little sporadic. It may not even always be the same amount. And self-employed individuals understand this perhaps in a very good way that others may not, that every week based on the jobs that are performed during that week and the pay that is received during that week from those jobs, may not have the same income from week to week or a consistent income, so the giving may vary from week to week. But the principle here is that it is given as the individual prospers. And although it may fluctuate because the amount received may fluctuate, the principle of giving never fluctuates, never goes away. And you give as you prosper, because for some, that will be the same amount week in and week out. For others, it may vary, but it's still based on the same principle. This is what I have prospered, and therefore I'm going to give. That's why it's so very often that the recommendation of giving, although there's no one verse in the Bible that may point to this, particularly in the New Testament, the recommendation for giving often is based on a percentage. That I give a certain percent of what I receive, because the amount may vary, because my income may vary from week to week, but the percent that I'm giving of that income is always the same. So in principle, I'm always giving the same thing. I'm always giving the same amount, although the dollar figure may vary, because I have decided this is what I'm going to give. This percent. And that seems to work well in many, many cases. Now, for the remaining principles that we want to look at, I want to encourage you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. Particularly chapter 9, we're going to look at a text that we will draw some of our remaining principles from. But so far, we see that scriptural giving, number one, is consistent or regular. Number two, that it is personal. And number three, that it is according to how we prosper. But now as we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to see that scriptural giving number 4 is liberal giving. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and if you would, look at verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. For this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. There's a principle there that is in the context of chapters 8 and 9, which in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, they all revolve around the subject of giving. And based on what we've already learned in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we take these principles and we apply them here as well, but we see they're expanded on for our benefit even more. And we see that scriptural giving is liberal giving. And that's why when I made reference a moment ago to the idea of giving a percentage, that no matter what our income may be, it may be very high, it may be very low, it may be somewhere in between, and sometimes it may vary, it may fluctuate. But we have decided on a certain percent that we're going to give. No matter what our income may, no matter what the dollar amount may be that we receive, we have decided on a certain percent that we're going to give, and we have decided to make that percent something generous, something liberal, something that is more than just a few dollars that we'll never miss anyway. We're going to give liberally. We're going to sow bountifully, abundantly, not sparingly, not stingy, not greedy, not miserly, not selfishly, but bountifully. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 8, regarding the use of the talents and the abilities that we have. Romans chapter 12, verse 8, he that exhorts on exhortation, he that gives, let him do so. Now the King James Version says with simplicity, but the better word that is really used there in other translations is liberally. If this is a talent, in essence, that we have, and it should be one that we can all develop, that we give liberally. That we decide that we're going to give generously. We've heard the expression about we give till it hurts. Well, maybe that has some application here. That we give in a way that reflects a generous gift. Perhaps even a sacrifice. Sometimes we might be inclined or in the habit of tipping the server in our restaurant on a more generous scale than we give to God. Are we more inclined to tip the server in our restaurant that brings us temporary bread versus the one who gives us living bread? Are we generous? Are we liberal? Are we sowing bountifully? But let's move on and think about a fifth principle about scriptural giving. The fifth principle that we want to see, and it comes from our text here again in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it is according to purpose. Keep reading in our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Just a moment ago we read verse 6, but now read verse 7. So let each one, and again there's that specificity of not just a general sense, but each one, here's the individual obligation, let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now notice the principle that we're thinking about here, number 5, is that scriptural giving is according to purpose. Let each one give, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7 says, as he purposes in his heart. There must be a deliberation in my mind, a determination in my mind and heart. This is the amount that I'm going to give. I have decided beforehand. It's not that I show up at the assembly on Sunday morning and think, oops, I forgot to take care of that, and I reach in my pocket or my purse and I find a $20 bill or a $10 bill and I just throw that in the plate and think, nope, check that off the list. I have thought about this beforehand. I have purposed this in my heart beforehand. My family and I have talked about this beforehand, and we have purposed this in our heart. Now, I know that there is a great deal of discretion that needs to be used sometimes within families when parents are dealing with children about how we take care of certain financial obligations, and there is discretion that needs to be used there. I understand that. But parents need to sit down with children and need to talk about giving to the Lord. And parents need to sit down with children and they need to say, this is what our family is giving to the Lord. This is what we're going to do with part of our income because the Lord has blessed us. That includes you, children. The Lord has given these resources to every one of us. And this is what we're going to give. And then that discussion, I think, of necessity would lead to talking with children about, now when you have a job, when you have an income, and I understand, you know, children who are still at home don't have full-time jobs and working 40 hours a week and pulling home $65,000 a year. But suppose they bring home 20 bucks a week or 80 bucks a week. Or 110 bucks a week. Have we talked with our children about how they use those resources? And how that money they received, that didn't come from your employer, really. That came from God. And you need to give to God. You need to give and purpose in your heart before you ever receive it. This is what I'm going to do with part of it. You know, sometimes we receive money unexpectedly. Maybe we receive a gift or we receive some expected little windfall every now and then. So oftentimes, I know what our first thought is. Our first thought is, wow, now I can go buy this. You know, or wow, now I can repair this. Or wow, you know, now we can do that. Shouldn't our first thought be, shouldn't the first thing we do in our heart, our mind, is purpose? I receive this, and here's how much I'm going to give to God. Look how much God gave me, and I'm going to give some of it back to Him. It's all His anyway. So we're just giving back that which is His anyway. But we purpose. Scriptural giving is purpose. Notice the text says it's purpose. But now, let's move to number six. Scriptural principle number six. Number one, it is regular. Number two, it is personal. Number three, it is according to how we prosper. Number four, it is liberal. Number five, it is according to purpose. And number six, it is from the heart. Scriptural giving is from the heart. Notice the text says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes, where? In his heart. As we purpose in our heart. Scriptural giving is giving from the heart. It's purposed in the heart. I've said some things a few moments ago about a percentage. But I want to add to that, that never should we make our obligation to God and the percentage that we give in this part of our Christianity just a cold, meaningless calculation. It's not just a figure on a piece of paper or a number on a check. It is from the heart. It comes from the heart. Love of the heart. Love from the heart. The love of Jesus motivates us to give and to purpose this way. We purpose in our heart. Not because we are forced to. Not because we have to. Not because we are embarrassed because we might be ashamed of what others think of us. But we do it because we have purposed it in our own heart. It's about our own heart. No specific percentage, again, is mentioned in the New Testament about what Christians should give. Under the Old Testament law, the Jews gave a minimum of a tithe, which is 10%. And when you begin adding some of the other sacrifices that they gave, you would see that it adds up to often quite a bit more than just 10%. Some of that was for the civil law that was also included in the law of Moses. But from the religious side, the spiritual side of the law of Moses, the minimum that the Jew gave under the old law was 10%. That's what the law demanded. They didn't have to purpose it in their heart. The law simply demanded that. Cannot the blood of Jesus cause the Christian to give more from his heart than the law of Moses had the Jew give out of obligation? As some have said, perhaps it is best to look at 10% as the getting in place. And we move up from there. Because we give from our heart based on what Jesus has done for us. The heart determines what we give. Let me tell you about two little people that none of you in here ever met that I knew when I was a student at Fried Hardeman. The last 2 or 3 years I was at Fried Hardeman, I worked with one of the congregations outside of Henderson, Tennessee. And we had a couple there that was living in a nursing home. Their names were W.H. and Hazel Hare. You know, the stuff I don't have a lot of. His name was Hartle. Hartle Hare. His parents had a sense of humor, I guess. But W.H. and Hazel Hare. They were living in the nursing home by the time I came to the congregation. And they both passed away before I graduated and left. And different men in the congregation each Sunday would be sure that we took the Lord's Supper to Brother and Sister Hare. And without fail, every time we visited with them and we took the Lord's Supper to them, they would pull a dollar out and hand it to us. And we would take that back. One Sunday I was there, and I assisted the Hares in observing the Lord's Supper. And they handed me a little manila envelope, about 2 inches by 3 inches. Just a little manila envelope. And so I took it, and I went back, and I handed it to our treasurer. I said, "This is from Brother and Sister Hare. I think it's their contribution." He told me later that he opened the little manila envelope over the collection basket as he was counting it up that night from some extra money, and he dumped it, and he said, and 4 quarters fell out. I, at different times, have helped at different congregations count the collection. And I've seen amounts on checks, and I've seen $100 bills and things like that as I've helped here and there. I really don't remember any of those things. But those 4 little quarters in that envelope, over 30 years ago, represent some people who purposed in their heart and gave from their heart. And it means more to me than if you put $1 million check in the contribution basket. Because I saw somebody's heart. Scriptural giving is from the heart. And number 7, and finally, from our text in 2 Corinthians 9:7, scriptural giving is cheerful giving. We look at the text again, it says, not grudgingly of necessity, not because we have to. For the Lord loves what? A cheerful giver. Scriptural giving is cheerful giving. If you turn back a page maybe in your Bible to 2 Corinthians 8, the churches in Macedonia are discussed in verses 1 and 2. And in verses 1 and 2 of 2 Corinthians 8, it says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial or affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in riches of their liberality." The churches in Macedonia apparently had deep poverty, difficulty and challenges. But they gave liberally, and notice what the text says. Joy. Joy. Even though they were poor, even though you would have probably put them down as some of the last and least likely people to have given liberally, they did. And what was their attitude about all of it? Joy. Cheerfulness. They were glad to do it. They were happy to do it. And they wanted to do even more. You see, scriptural giving is giving with great joy. And as the text says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, with great cheerfulness. The word in the original text, in the original language of 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, that most of our English Bibles translated as cheerful, When I pronounce the word in the original, you may recognize it, because the word in the original is hilarion. Do you recognize our English word hilarious from that? Because that's exactly where it comes from. In essence, the Bible is saying, give with hilarity. Give with such joy and exuberance in your heart that you're absolutely beside yourself because you have the opportunity to do it. That is scriptural giving. And that's why Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Jesus gave His life for us because Jesus knew there would be a greater blessing in giving His life than in selfishly not giving His life. Jesus gave His life for the blessing and the benefit of each and every one of us, that we, through that sacrifice, through His liberal gift that He purposed in His heart, that He gave for us, that we might know what the gospel is, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, that we might have the opportunity to hear the gospel, believe the gospel, and obey the gospel by turning from our sins, being buried with Him in baptism, and just like He died, we die to sin. Just like He was buried, we're buried in the water of baptism symbolically, like Jesus was buried in the tomb. We rise just like Jesus rose from the dead. Out of the tomb, we rise from the waters of baptism, rising from the death of sin to newness of life. And that's exactly what Romans chapter 6 tells us, because Jesus knew what? It was more blessed to give than receive. And the greatest blessing that He knew was in store was for each and every one of us to be forgiven of sins, to be added to His body, and to be a child of His. This morning, we encourage you, if you're ready to receive that blessing, if you're ready to receive that gift of Jesus, would you come this morning as we stand and we sing?